This is the Word of God found in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting with verse 3, reading to verse 15. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting with the third verse. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for counted, nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Most of you have heard this account over the years. Solomon had just come to the throne, and now his father David was dead. Actually, he was anointed to be king while David was still alive. David commanded that it would happen, and they gathered the people necessary, put him on David's own mule, and they brought him down to where the people, where he was anointed by the priest, and all the people shouted. And David himself bowed on his deathbed, got up the energy to bow to his own son. And so Solomon actually was anointed king while David was still alive. And David had a few last conversations, it appears, with him, tell him some things he needed to watch out for and some things he needed to do. And so Solomon was king for a little while his dad was alive, but then David died. He went the way of all the earth, and his spirit went to be with the Lord, and they buried his body. And then Solomon found himself king alone. His daddy was dead. He was the king over a great kingdom, and he didn't feel adequate for the job. He felt his insufficiency. He felt his weakness. And so he did what is a good thing for a child of God to do when you feel inadequate, and that is to worship. So he went to the great high place in Gibeon. I expect that's where the rest of the tabernacle was. David, in his lifetime, had brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and pitched a special tent for it to reside in, and that's where the ark was. But the rest of the tabernacle was in another place, and that's where the great altar that Moses had built during his days was. And so Solomon went there to worship. And as he worshiped, he fell into a dream, and God bade him ask for something. Ask what I shall give thee. There's a lot of things a young king could ask. He was king, but he might have been richer than that. He could have asked for riches. Could have asked to live and reign for many years. Could have asked for all his enemies to go down in defeat. Could have asked for a lot of things. Remember, Solomon was new to the throne, and what he wanted to do was a good job. He wanted to be a good king, and he knew what he needed was wisdom from God, understanding from God, and so that's what he asked for. He says, he acknowledged God's goodness. You gave my father David a throne. You blessed him, and now you've even blessed him with a son to sit on the throne after him, and he saw it. But you blessed him with a son to sit on the throne after him, and that's me. And Lord, this is a big job. This is a great people. Give thy servant, he was talking about himself, give thy servant a wise and understanding heart that I may know good from bad, that I may be able to judge this thy so great a people. Solomon asked for something that he might be able to do good rather than harm to God's people. That was his request. And the Holy Spirit here tells us that request pleased God. Said, because you didn't ask for a bunch of other things you could have asked for, but you asked for something really not even for yourself. You asked for something so that you would be able to be a blessing to my people, I'm going to give it to you. And furthermore, I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to give you the wise and understanding heart that you asked for. But in addition to that, I'm going to give you riches and honor greater than any king on the earth at this time. And if you will keep my commandments and walk in my ways as your dad did, if you will obey me, I'll give you long life also. God gave him more than he asked, and that's what's on my mind. How often God gives us more than we ask for. All he asked for was wisdom and understanding. He asked for an understanding heart to be able to do judgment. And God said, you got it. He met Solomon's request, and he gave him that understanding heart. But God said, I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to give you riches and honor as well. And I just got to thinking how often God does that. Thought about some instances in the Lord Jesus Christ ministry where he really gave more than he was requested. Some of it was probably not welcome, but he gave more than was requested. Do you remember when the religious leaders came to him and requested him, said, by what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? That was their request. Answer our question here. Who gave you this authority? And the Lord said, I will ask you one question, and if you answer it, I will tell you by whom I got this authority. My question to you is, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? And they had a crowd around them, and they were religious authorities, and they began to reason. They said, well, if we say it was of heaven, he's going to say, well, then why didn't you go to him for baptism? Why didn't you get baptized by John? But if you say it was of men, this whole crowd's going to be mad at us because they all held John to be a prophet of God. So they began thinking there, we can't answer either way. So they spoke up and they said, we cannot tell. So the Lord's question there was the baptism of John. Was it of heaven or of men? And their answer was, we cannot tell. He said, neither do I tell you by whose authority I do these things. So he answered their question. Because they asked a question, he said, I'll answer it if you'll answer mine first. They didn't answer that, so he met the requirement that he himself had agreed to. He got to that, but he didn't stop there. He then said, but what think you? A man had two sons, and he said to the first son, he said, go into my field, my vineyard, and work. And the son said, I'll go. But he didn't go into the vineyard. Then he said to another son, he said, go work in my vineyard. And the son said, I will not. But later he repented and went into the vineyard and began to work. Which of these two did the will of his father? And they said, well, the one that repented, the one that at first said he wouldn't go, but then repented and went into the field. He said, the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of heaven before you, because they repented at the preaching of John, and yet you repented not that you might have that blessing. And so he was saying there the preaching of John went out. You heard it. So did a lot of people you consider unsavory. You didn't repent of whatever sins you might have. They might have been a lot less obvious. They might have been sins of pride and self-righteousness and greed and all of that. And people still admired you. Here, the prostitutes and the publicans, their sins were very public. The publicans were taking up money for the Romans. Prostitutes, they were making their living in a sinful way. And yet when they heard the preaching of John, they repented and were baptized and made changes in their lives. See what the Lord did? He answered the question, and then he went beyond the question itself and gave another lesson. Let's see another place where he did that. The Sadducees came to tempt him, and the Sadducees believed there was no life after death. They believed there was no resurrection. So they posed a hypothetical question for Jesus Christ. They said, Master, Moses has commanded that if a woman die and have no children, then her dead husband's brother shall marry her to raise up children to the name of the dead. Now, there was with us a woman who married a man, and he died, and they had no children, and he had a number of brothers. He had six brothers. There were seven men. And so she married the next brother, and he died, and they still had no children. So she married the third brother, and he died, and they had no children. Likewise, all the way to the last brother, the seventh of the boys, married her and died, and they all had no children, and finally the woman herself died. Now, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? For they all had her to wife. They were all married to her. So they thought, well, this is really going to tie him up. And they probably thought it's going to get the Pharisees too. They believe in resurrection. And how are they going to explain this? There's one woman and seven husbands, and they're there in the resurrection. How's the Lord ever going to be able to sort that out and give her to someone as a wife? And the Lord answered their question. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. So he answered their question right there, that this is not a problem for God at all. There are not these exclusive man-woman marriages in heaven. There is a great marriage that we learn in heaven, that the chosen people of God, his bride, is his people, chosen that he purchased with his blood, and he's the bridegroom. So there is a great marriage, but as far as individual marriages such as we have here on earth, which are can be a very great blessing, that was instituted of God, causes the next generation to come forth. But when you get to heaven, he says, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. The Lord answered their question right there. Was the reply to their question. But he didn't stop there. He said, but as touching the dead, that they do rise, have you not read how Moses is at the burning bush and God speaks to him and says, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, God's the Lord of the dead and the living. That is, he rules over the dead and the living. But he's the God, that is, the one who receives worship only from the living. Only the living worship God. And so when God said to Moses, he didn't say, I'm the Lord of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. When God at the burning bush said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, what God was saying was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hundreds of years after they were buried, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive, Moses, and they're worshiping me right now. Well, that was over and beyond the question they asked for. And the Lord Jesus Christ proved that there was life after death from Exodus chapter 3. Don't you know that posed problems for them, advancing their theological opinions from then on out? He had just proved, not from some obscure place or just from a matter of feeling or a matter of supposition, he'd gone to one of the scriptures that both Pharisees and Sadducees and Essenes and anybody that was Jewish held to be in such high regard, the burning bush of all things, Moses there. Speaking and getting his commission from God, and right in the midst of that, God showed there was life after death. So he gave them more than they asked for. Remember in the garden when the Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples and he went in and the party came with Judas to arrest him. And he had instructed his disciples to bring swords. Was not for his defense, but for deterrence for them being arrested. And they brought two swords to the garden by his instructions. This is one reason I oppose gun control, for scriptural reasons. The Lord Jesus Christ himself commanded his disciples to bring weapons to deter violence in a dangerous situation. So they brought these weapons. He had them, and they were there, and this great crowd comes to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one of those disciples was very quick to use his weapon without even waiting for instructions from the Lord. It was Simon Peter, and he drew out his sword, and I think he was much better fisherman than he was a soldier, because he aimed a blow at one of those servants and didn't kill him, cut the man's ear off. The name of the servant was Malchus. And the Lord told them to put away thy sword. Told his disciples, put away your sword. Don't you think I can call to my Father and he will presently give me 12 legions of angels? One time I did the math on that. A legion was about 5,400 soldiers. If you multiply 12 times 5,400, and then you take what one angel did around the walls of Jerusalem in the days of Hezekiah, killed 185,000 soldiers. If you multiply 12 times 5,400 times 185,000, you get somewhere in the range of 12 billion. That's more than all the human race now. Even after all of our population, we're only probably 8 or 9 billion. That means the Lord Jesus Christ had at his disposal the power to destroy the whole human race. Even as the Son of Man, he could have called on the destruction of the human race. And he didn't do it. So he said, put away your sword. The Lord right there answered the violence. That is, there was no violence in his mouth. There was no guile in him. He, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And so he had done no wrong. He had done no violence. He stopped the violence. But the Lord went beyond that. He didn't just stop the violence and arrest that. What did he do for Malchus? Do you remember? He reached forth and he touched the man and healed his ear. And the reason I bring up these examples, three examples of the life of Jesus Christ, is how often the Lord does more than we ask. Sometimes He gives us more than we ask for an answer, but He gives us more than we ask. What about you? What about me? Does He do more than we ask? Think of the great comfort that we have in Isaiah chapter 40, speaking of the work of redemption. So often quoted, Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Cry unto, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Did the Lord take care of our sins? Did He pay for them? Did He separate us from our sins as far as the east is from the west? Yes, He did that. There was the work of redemption. He brought us to a place where our sins are paid for. But He did more than that. That would have brought us right back to the point where Adam was. Adam was without sin when he was created. He was innocent, but he was still able to disobey God and fall. The Lord Jesus, He did something for us so that we receive double for our sins. He did more than put us in the place of Adam where we were innocent. He put us in His own place where we had His righteousness. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That means not only has He paid for our sins, but He put His children, His chosen people, in a place where they could not fall from God's grace forever. He not only paid for their sins and was made to be sin for them, but He imputed to them His own rightness in the sight of God. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, last scripture that I can think of there is in Ephesians chapter 3. There's a scripture that I think you're very familiar with, but how the Lord so often does more than we even ask for. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." What is the Lord able to do? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I hope that all of us will be men and women of prayer, because God is able, and He not only is able, but He often does more than we ask. How often the Lord brings us right up to where we ask and then goes beyond that. So ask. Think about the Lord. If He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think about Him often. Go to His Word to help you think aright. Say it right. Think it right. Go to His Word. Think about Him often. And then in reverence, humility, but in boldness, ask of the Lord. Ask for what you need. Ask God to give you a wise and understanding heart, and then just watch Him exceed your expectations, because He loves you with an everlasting love, and He has proven that love in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, thank You for even hearing our cries. Lord, what is man that Thou should notice him, that Thou should consider him, Lord? We thank You for not only considering us and knowing us, but Lord, for that everlasting love where you love us beyond our imagination. Dear Father, we ask that you would give us your presence, Lord, your felt presence. We ask for your Holy Spirit and for your wisdom. Give us wise and understanding hearts that we may discern good from bad and that we may know, Lord, how to minister to your people. Lord, give this to each member, brother and sister of this church, each person who's gathered here today. We ask that you would grant wise and understanding hearts. And dear God, we trust that you will give us not only those things that are needful, but many things even beyond that, because you've done it in days past, O Lord. And we thank you that such a generous and abundant gift giver you are. Lord, forgive us our sins. Help us to love one another. Help us not only to feel your presence and your love, but help us to feel the love of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. For we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.